Yeah, James, I covet your prayers and everyone who's on here this evening. It has been kind of a long day, and we have conducted funeral service for Rick Rees. Most of you are connected to Elder Melvin Myers in some way, and his baby daughter Polly has been married to Dennis for some time. When Dennis was just turned 7 years old, his dad was killed in an automobile accident, and those boys with Rex, one that passed away today, was buried today. He was 9 years old at the time they lost their dad, and certainly it was a great disadvantage for them, but they grew into fine men of integrity, and been a blessing to my life personally. And of course, this happened to Brother Stan Jones, about 3 months younger than me. I've been battling Alzheimer's for some time, and lost his life, and we pray for his widow, Sister Jamie Jones, and all those that mourn Brother Stan's passing. There's so many right now that are battling cancer. Connected to me in my personal life, I ask for prayers for those, and pray for Sister Sherry Crawford. And we're thankful for the good news we received that she has finished chemotherapy, and oncologist says about a 10% chance of returning. We certainly ask the Lord to bless her. And we think about our dear brother Sonny Huckabee quite often, and his struggles with bladder cancer, and the inability at this point to get it totally under control. I have a neighbor down the road from me, just I coached his son and his daughter, and right now his wife has gastric cancer and is in intensive care in a hospital in Jackson. And his only daughter has cancer of the mouth, tongue, throat, and has a feeding tube and is not doing well. We know in this life, Job told us that man who's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But I just want to talk to you about something that, around this area, I've been in the public arena for so long. I know a lot of the people here. And there are people in my location that think I actually work for the funeral home because I'm there so often, but I don't. And I was at a funeral last week, and the two ministers that conducted the funeral, I thought, did a wonderful job in many respects in bringing great comfort to that family. This particular lady was a pillar in our community, 93 years old. But near the end of her funeral, the minister that was bringing the message that day named the departed and the deceased lady, and told those in attendance that she would want us to know that if we had not been born again, today would be a good day to do it. This evening, we'll look at regeneration for just a little while. We know part of the problem we face, in this present life right now, like Brother Rick and Brother Shane Arnold did such a good job this afternoon with Brother Stan's funeral. And one of them mentioned how that Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 says, "But these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Certainly, we know that this is not our home. Stranger means we're not at home. A pilgrim means we're passing through. And we know we're passing on to a better land that the Lord has prepared for his children, those who love him. And we're so thankful for his goodness and mercy while we sojourn in this life. And David told us on one occasion, he said, there's but a step between me and death. Recently, I've been in funeral services for a 14-year-old, a 43-year-old, a 55-year-old, a 63-year-old, 64-year-old, 61-year-old. And we read in Psalm 90 and 10 where, generally speaking, man's appointed days upon the earth are 40 years, or a region of strength, maybe 40 years. Our strength is labor and sorrow, and we soon are cut off and we fly away. We look forward to the day when we fly away from the sin-cursed world in which you and I live. But right now there's an animated movie that's out in theaters across America. I have no desire to watch it. Without being too graphic, there's a scene in there of same-gender kissing. And, I've heard some reaction to this, and those that are justifying that lifestyle or this, one of them I heard say that he longs for the day when this type of activity on the silver screen would not even bring not even raise an eyebrow. But it'd be accepted as normal because it is normal, he said. Another time, I heard one say that anyone who's opposed to this movie, is an idiot. You know, there's 13 countries right now, 13 or 14 maybe, that banned this movie. Egypt, Iran, Indonesia, Kuwait, Lebanon, Jordan, Malaysia, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates. But friends, you know, in the book of Leviticus, in chapter 18, it calls this very clearly an abomination. And in Leviticus chapter 20, it says it's an abomination that's punishable by death. Certainly, I don't advocate punishing by death those that are engaged in this lifestyle. But, you know, even in the New Testament, I think it's in the book of Romans, maybe chapter 1, verse 27, it describes this activity as unseemly. But one thing we have to realize in this world, that one verse that causes us a lot of problems in this life is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Where it says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the kingdom of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he, for they are spiritually discerned." Again, regeneration. I love what Charles Spurgeon, what he said about regeneration. He said, "Regeneration is an act not of the free will of man or the power of man, but by the mighty, efficacious, irresistible grace of God." Yeah, I had to look up the word efficacious. It means producing the desired effect. You know, regeneration. I think about, you know, our natural birth. And we know that sin is imputed unto us. You know, in Psalm 51, of course, David here was referring to his relationship with Bathsheba. And he said, "I was shapen in iniquity, in sin did my mother conceive me." We know that our natural birth brings sin. It's imputed unto us. You know, the Bible says that the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a quickening spirit. You know, about my natural birth, I know about it. I know what my parents have told me, and I know what's written on my birth certificate, and that's about it. A lot of information on there, but the regeneration, again, is when we are born of the Spirit of God. And we know that today at the funeral this morning, one of my former student athletes talked to me, and he asked, "Was I able to preach anywhere?" I said, "What do you mean preach anywhere?" And he said, "Like any church, you just restricted totally to the Primitive Baptist Church." And I said, "Well, I preached at other churches of a different faith and order." I said, "It's a preaching appointment. Those in my school community have invited me to come preach for them." I said, "I always get permission from my church first." And he began to ask some questions about Primitive Baptists, and I'm not sure he's totally on board with me, but I love what Scripture says about these things. You know, predestination, of course, is a bedrock foundational principle of the Old Baptist Church. It's in Scripture time and time and time again. You know, it speaks it very emphatically. But I heard recently in one of the sermons, Brother James mentioned, we've had some wonderful meetings in our area. We trust that you have, those that are not connected to the AMED Association. We'd like to come visit with us, and we look forward to hopefully having you with us at the Association in October. But friends, we understand, as it said in Romans chapter 8, and I love the past tense aspect of this. "Whom the Lord foreknew, then he also did predestinate. Whom he predestinated, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified." One time when I was coaching baseball, we coming home from a baseball game, we didn't win. One of my assistant coaches had some connection to some old Baptists from his family from Alabama. He mentioned to me how the Lord predestined for us to lose that day. And I said, "Brother, I think the Lord has a lot more to do than worry about, be concerned about the outcome of a ball game." We're doing Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. It says, "The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will." It says there in verse 35 that man is reputed as nothing. let the Lord do us according to his will among the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say, what doeth thou? In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we find this in scripture. We love him because he first loved us. Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, it says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. We understand from that God doesn't love everybody. He's sovereign. I just tell you in Daniel chapter 4, he said he's a sovereign God. He does according to his will among the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say, what doeth thou? And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. We can read many more verses in Romans chapter 9. I forget what verse it is exactly, but it says, and it goes back to Exodus 33. It says, for the Lord, as the Lord saith unto Moses, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. In Acts chapter 13, we find Paul and Barnabas preaching. They had service one Sunday. The next Sabbath day, almost the whole city came, it says. The Gentiles, when they heard this, the Bible says they were glad. And they glorified God. And the Bible says there that as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, it says, but God, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. I think about that quite often. But God, when it pleased him, he separated us from our mother's womb, called us by his grace, and revealed his son unto us. We can just go on and on in that respect. Romans 8:33 says, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? What we're going to look at for just a few moments is over in John chapter 3. As we begin to read in John chapter 3, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. I love the word rabbi. I looked that up and I knew it meant master, but more specifically it means my master. I remember many times hearing Brother Ricky Harcrow preach about used to be somewhat find it offensive when someone referred to Jesus Christ as their personal savior. Until Brother Ricky said, I realize that's exactly who he is. He's a personal savior. It humbles me when I think about the fact that he knows my name. But he came to him by night, and Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Here we begin to talk about regeneration, this rebirth that we talked about. In regeneration, we become partakers of the divine nature. A lot of things happen during regeneration. I don't discount other people's experiences and their walk with Christ and God the Father. I can't tell you exactly when I was born again of the Spirit of God. I mentioned about Ricky Harcourt, said he remembered when the gospel made sense to him for the first time. I do remember. I remember mentioning about my birth, and all I know about it is what my parents told me and what's on my birth certificate. One of my first memories of life, I was 4 years old, I think. Union Church, the old church there at Ruth, and had the elevated floor, and I was sitting by my precious mom. Sister Doris Myers, a wonderful servant's wife. And, I can't tell you who was preaching that morning. I don't know if it was Brother Melvin, Brother Oscar, Brother Temple Wade, Brother Wayne Myers, Brother Cecil. I don't know, but I know I was crying. And my mom, Sister Doris asked my mom, said, what's wrong with Mickey? And I know this. There was nothing wrong with me. I wasn't feeling bad. Maybe it was at the moment I was born again of the Spirit of God. I don't know, but the Lord told Nicodemus, not once, but twice, as we get to in just a moment, he said, you must be born again. My precious earthly dad used to talk about born again, not leaving a scar. It's where our heart is changed from natural enmity against God to holy affections and to a heart that wants to please God with our body and our spirit, which belong to him. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And we know that's not water baptism. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 says, baptism is not for the putting away the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. I've heard people say that born of the water means something related to the placenta, an amniotic fluid is inside the placenta. When I do go to a commentary, I used to use Brother John Gill. And Brother John said that this is referring to the grace of God, this water. You know, in John chapter 4, just go over one chapter, and one of my favorite accounts in all of Scripture, Jesus Christ is at the well, Jacob's well, 6 hours of the day, weary from his journey. He sits down. There's a Samaritan woman comes to the well, and he says basically a very simple phrase, give me to drink. And in their interactions, apparently the other interactions, but she knew that he was a Jew, and she was a Samaritan. You don't have dealings with us. And he tells her that, you know, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God and who it is asketh you for a drink, you would ask him. And he began to talk about a water. You know, she said, you don't have anything to draw with. The well is deep. Are you greater than Jacob, our father, who gave us this well and drank of it himself and his cattle also? Friends, yes, he's a greater Jacob. Amen. He is a greater Jacob. He began to talk to her about water that said, you know, if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. It's a well springing up into everlasting life, or life everlasting, maybe it says there. And she went into the city and left her water pot there at the well and went into the city and said, come see a man. You know, she told him about her relationship, about she had had five husbands, and the one she was with now is not her husband. She said, he told her, said, go and sin no more. You know, we don't have anything else in Scripture about that woman, that, other than pretty much what I mentioned and a few other verses in there that I skipped over. But I often think about that woman. I seem to think she was actually regenerated there. And you know, regeneration is basically, in some ways, could be seen as the cause, and the effect is conversion, where there's a change in repentance and commitment and faith. And I just surmise that she got out of that inappropriate relationship she was in. I mentioned some relationships that are inappropriate in other, what they call an alternative lifestyle, which is a direct abomination against God. But so is this. He told her to go and sin no more. But you know, he told her if you knew the gift of God. Many times I've heard it debated about Saul of Tarsus. Was he regenerated or was he converted on the road to Damascus? I won't get into that this evening, but about the wild Gadarene. Think about him. You know, I believe he was converted there. I believe that those demons that possessed him were taking away his ability to worship God in spirit and truth. But you know what he said when he saw Jesus Christ, he had afar off, he ran and ran to meet him and fell on the ground and worshiped him. And you remember the rest of that account. He said he wanted to go with the Lord. You know, those that own those Dutch wine wanted him to depart from their coast, but just the one who is now clothed and seated and in his right mind began to pray, Lord, let me go with you. And the Lord turns and said, no, you go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for thee. I think about that man quite often, the thief on the cross. And no doubt in my mind, he was regenerated there. And we know that he wasn't baptized. Again, it's born of water, I believe, is the grace of God. It's that water that Jesus Christ offered that Samaritan woman there at Jacob's well. It said there in verse 6 of John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, here it gives the second time, thou must be born again. Verse 8 says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. You can hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit of God. Everyone is born of the Spirit of God. We're talking about a sovereign God. We're talking about here one that does according to his will among the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? But sovereign grace, friends, will get a thief on the cross home to glory. It's not a narrow doctrine. Brother John Mizell last weekend. I've heard so many sermons recently. It's been such a blessing of he's talking about that lake of fire. But we know that when John was down on the Isle of Patmos, he looked and he saw a number that no man can number. The Lord's people are like the sands of the seashore for number and a measurable host. But we know this, and I believe this from the depths of my heart this evening. John chapter 6 says he will present us to the Father without the loss of one. That's great comfort to me this evening, Brother James, and all of you on the understanding of my voice, that we serve a God who cannot fail. He cannot lie. His promises in Jesus Christ are yea and amen. You know, one thing we got to remember too, and you know, sometimes I mentioned the minister of another faith and order that this week, that end of last week actually, that mentioned there to a pretty crowded church gathered to pay tribute to this grand lady that lived in our community. If you haven't been born again, today would be a good day to do it. You know, John chapter 6, Jesus Christ is born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, because he is the bread of life, as you talk about in John chapter 6. But in John chapter 6, verse 37, it says something very important to the Lord's people, that no man can come to me except my Father, which is in heaven, draw him. In John chapter 6, verse 44, it says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. It's telling us that no man can come to the Father except my Father which is in heaven draw him. Now, what we're supposed to do is let our light so shine before men that others will see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. At the end of John chapter 6, I love what the Lord says there. But it has a sad effect to it, a sad connotation there. When he says that, when he began to teach that no man can come to me except my Father which is in heaven draw him, it said many disciples returned and followed him no more. He asked those disciples that were closer to him, said, shall ye go away also? And Peter, that ignorant and unlearned fisherman, we remember what he said on that occasion, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. This evening, I want to convey to you, dear friends, that we have nowhere else to go. I've told you, my wagons have been loaded lately with people I love, battling cancer, heart disease, all these infirmities of this flesh that we know won't end until the Son of God comes back. But we do want to go over to... I mentioned that wind bloweth where it listeth. So is everyone born of the, we can't tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone is born of the Spirit of God. Go with me over to the book of Ephesians for just a moment. I think I mentioned earlier that scripture tells us, I think in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that the first Adam became a living soul. The last Adam became a quickening spirit. We know that Lord formed man from the dust of the earth. Through the Adamic nature that we all have, we're all sinners, but we're sinners saved by the grace of God. I love what Brother Luke Laird preached down at Plymouth here recently at their annual meeting, where he said that he preached a funeral in 5 Mile over near Tuscaloosa, Alabama, a couple of days before, and he said he mentioned that verse, and marvel not at this, the hour is coming in which all in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that here shall live. He said it dawned on him the first time. I'm so thankful. I took this nugget home with me. That the Lord blessed Brother Luke to see. He said he thought about that voice. That, you know, voice is created as breath passes over our vocal cords. He said, so even the voice of God brings life. That's a beautiful thought to me. But again, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. And we're talking about, what did he tell Nicodemus? Two different times, you must be born again. We're totally passive in that birth, just as we were in the first, in our natural birth. But that second birth, being born again of the Spirit of God, it should bring conversion. It should bring a greater desire to walk closer to our God. We sing that song at Union quite often, Nearer My God to Thee. That should be our mindset as we journey in this life. You know, you go ahead and continue to read in Ephesians chapter 2. Talked about the times where we walked with the children of wrath. We walked in according to in disobedience, according to the lust of the flesh. But then we get to verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I'm thankful tonight that I believe in my heart. I don't know if it was that day at Union Church when I was 4 years old. But I believe in my heart I've been born again of the Spirit of God through his abundant mercy. I'm not deserving of heaven, but through these funerals I've been to recently, I mentioned so many young folks that have passed away. I've seen a lot of grieving families. And, you know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if I had hope in Christ in this life only, I'd be of all men most miserable. We believe that, I'm going to tell you, brother, sometimes I wonder if I'll ever see my Savior's face in glory. There's other times, there's not a lawyer in Texas that could convince me otherwise, that I won't see him. I have great hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. I mentioned one time I went by a local store in our community. They had clothing they sell to church going people for the most part. Outside of their building, they had a manual type sign, the marquee. And on the sign, it says, far by grace, you can be saved. That's what the marquee said. I've told several people, some of them heard me say it, I would have been in a hurry. I'd have went in and asked for a ladder to repair the sign. We find right here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. There's so much more that could be said about this experience of regeneration. But you know, I think about Nicodemus in scripture. He came to Jesus by night on this occasion, had a wonderful experience and received some valuable information about the kingdom of God and who will inherit that kingdom that is mentioned in Romans 8:17. One of the points we're going to make about that. Oh yeah, Nicodemus. You remember when Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary, Nicodemus came with Joseph of Arimathea. And again, we talk about past tense verbs. I mentioned this evening that in Romans chapter 8, we said those he foreknew, he also did predestinate. Those he predestinated, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Go back to, I love Isaiah. The things he prophesied. Go to Isaiah chapter 53 verse 9. It says that he made his grave with the wicked and the rich in his death. Made his past tense. Isaiah lived 600 or 700 years before Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, went to that tomb where he vacated that tomb. Friends, it couldn't hold him. He was more powerful than the grave. He said that he said, I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. But yet, Isaiah tells us that he made his grave with the wicked and the rich. when we think about that, dear friends, that the rich was Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, who came to him with 100 pound weight of aloes to anoint Jesus Christ's body for burial. Took him, they begged Pilate for his body and took him down and put him in Joseph of Arimathea's own tomb, where never had a man been laid before. And 3 days later, despite them sealing that tomb, making it as secure as he can, Pilate told them, Jesus Christ is not there. I seek you the living among the dead. He's not here. He is risen. And friends, I can tell you, just as he quickened those in the Old Testament times, ye have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Aren't you thankful this evening that the Lord has taken us from that miserable state where we had eternal damnation in our target? And he born us again of his spirit. And if we've been born again of his spirit, we ought to be converted and we ought to live with him, live for him each day that we live. And one day we'll live with him. May the Lord bless you. That's our prayer, Brother James.